Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Boldly go where no man has gone before.
Engage.
Engage. Kirk Enterprise, Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Catherine Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage. Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
And we're back, folks. Thank you. It's time. It is time for another episode of Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffman, and let me tell you, it's a heck of a time to listen to Engage, the official Star Trek podcast, because we've got one more special edition from Mission New York, the recent Star Trek convention in New York City at the Jacob Javits Center over Labor Day. And this one is one that I've wanted to have captured for years. I've wanted to show my friends and family what it is that we can do. Starting in 2012, my friends at CBS and I have been doing live interactive panels at conventions where we engage with the fans and come up with various top 10 lists and other internet-friendly things in a series we call One Trek Mind Live. One Trek Mind is a column that I used to write on StarTrek.com. I say used to because we never officially stopped. I just got lazy. But I did like 100 of them. It's basically lists. It's internet lists. The best ships, the best red shirts, the best fights, the, you know, sexiest pictures of Jadzia, all these things. And what happens when you do lists on the internet? You annoy people. And they say, oh, that's you're doing it wrong. I could do it better. And we say, oh, yeah, you can do it better. Let's see. So we started doing it at the conventions in 2012. And at some conventions, we did like four different panels. One year, I think we did four One Trek Mind panels. And anyway, this time was the first time we did it in New York. And it's the first time we've done it. Well, this is actually technically not true. But it's close to the first time we've done it since Engage, the official Star Trek podcast, was born. And we decided to record it and play it for you. Now, most of it is self-explanatory. The only thing I want to say before we kick it back to the tape is that there is a slight visual component. While I was talking, we had these pretty sizable video screens on either side of the stage. And when I mentioned a character, the picture showed up. So I would say, blah, 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 Dr. Phlox. And then Dr. Phlox would show up. And there was one moment you might hear some rumblings from the crowd. There were, you know, at least 1,000 people in there. When you hear rumblings from the crowd, it's because we didn't have a picture of Tom Paris. We screwed up and then we got a picture of Tom Paris. So there'll be a whole recurring Tom Paris theme that won't make any sense to you. But other than that, everything's pretty straightforward. So with that, enough of my yapping. Let's just go to it and let's go back in time a couple of weeks to the Jacob Javits Center in New York City to hear One Trek Mind Live, September 2016.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast with your host, Jordan Hoffman.
You are, after all, irrational.
Time for your first panel of the day. It is One Trek Mind Live on stage. This is interactive, fun, and wacky, so make sure you guys are ready to play along. And I would like to introduce your host of the panel. He is the official host of the podcast Engage. Please welcome to the stage Jordan Hoffman. They are ready for you, Jordan. One Trek Mind Live on stage.
How's everybody doing? Day three. Oh, I'm exhausted. Day three. Oh, my God. Who's been here for all 3 days? Everybody. All right. So quick question before we start. I am curious, though. I can't really see much. Has anyone in this New York crowd been to one of the One Trek Mine, other than you, has anyone in this crowd, Yasmin, of the Alachi species, has anybody in this crowd been to one of the One Trek Mine panels in Las Vegas? Okay, we have a few, great, but not a lot of you, so I'm gonna briefly explain what goes down. If you don't know, in addition to hosting the official Star Trek podcast, Engage, which you can listen to on iTunes and every other kind of way you listen to things, we write the One Trek Mind column on StarTrek.com, which is mainly a fun gig where we do lists, top 10 lists, the best red shirts, the best fight scenes, the best ships, blah, blah, blah. And we would write this top 10 list, and all I would get was complaints. People saying, no, 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 you left off this, you left off that, that should be number 6, not number 7, what the hell are you thinking? So we said, hey, you try it sometime, it's not that easy. It's very difficult to formulate what are the top 10. So we started doing them live in Las Vegas, using the art form known as diplomacy and consensus. And if you know what consensus is, it means that nobody comes away happy. Everybody's a little bit disappointed, but ultimately you come up with a decision that you can live with. So we've been doing a lot of top 10s like that, but because this is the 50th anniversary, we're doing something a little bit special here in New York. What we are going to do is put together the best crew, the all-star crew from all of the different series, and kind of slot them in like a super group, like an all-star team, and figure out which characters are gonna go into which spot. So we're gonna figure out who's the best engineer, best first officer, and it's not just, keep in mind, it's not just going to be who is the best engineer, but then who is going to be the best engineer to work with a specific captain, right? We're gonna pick the best first officer, who's gonna be the best captain to work with that first officer, who's gonna be the best doctor that's gonna work with this security chief. So it's gonna be about interpersonal dynamics when we're trying to build what we think is going to be the best crew. Does this make sense to everybody? Does this sound like it could be fun? Awesome, now here's the best part. I'm here just to sort of keep the trains moving. This is not about my decision making, this is about your decision making. So we're gonna start really by taking suggestions from the audience, and we're gonna gauge who gets in and who gets out based on your enthusiasm. So if somebody says, the best engineer is Keenser from the Kelvin timeline, and if everybody's like, cricket, 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 then it's not gonna go in. But if everybody loves Keenser and is bouncing off the walls, then he's gonna get in, so we need to hear from you. As added incentive, everyone who comes up to the mic to make a suggestion and then to argue their case, if somebody says, no, 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 Keenser really is the best, and here's why, everyone who comes to mic, whether their picks make it in or not, will be given a little Star Trek trinket or gewgaw, thanks to our friends at CBS, while supplies last. So there are some, I want that. Don't take that one, I want that. No, there are some fun little things here, and there are some fun little things over there, so after you come make your suggestion, you can come claim one prize, and then eventually we'll run out, so if you didn't get online early, you're screwed. But anyway, that's that. So before we get cooking, let's just take a look. Computer back there, computer, if we can take a look on the monitors here, just to remind everybody, not that we need to be reminded, but who are going to be our potential crew members of this new ship that we're creating, the SS Javits that we're gonna create here today. So our captains, as if we need reminding, Captain Archer, Captain Janeway, Captain Kirk, Captain Kirk again, he's a very handsome man, Captain Picard, Captain Pike, he was here yesterday. Who saw his killer mustache he was rocking yesterday? Bruce Greenwood came and his mustache came with him. It was amazing. Captain Sisko and Captain Sulu. He was a captain, if you remember. And if somebody wants to make that case, we can do it. Let's move on. Our first officers, Chakotay, Kira Nerys, number one. Mr. Spock. The other Mr. Spock. He's all right, yeah, he's good, he's good. He's a great guy, he's a terrific guy, I'm with you. And T'Pol,
Sub Commander DePaul. We love her. I love her. Moving on, we've got the engineers, Jordy LaForge. Chief O'Brien, look at that twinkle in his eye. Look at that photograph. Computer, you did an excellent job taking the best Chief O'Brien picture I've seen. Scotty! And as we now call him, Montgomery Scotty. Who's pretty awesome and is getting better and better with each of the films. Belotta Torres. And our friend Trip Tucker also. Very fun dude. Have a beer with that guy. Okay, moving on. Our doctors, Dr. Bashir, Dr. Crusher, the doctor, Bones and Bones again, Dr. Phlox and the Pyrethian Bat, and Dr. Palast. Okay. We don't have to boo her. We just can simply not vote for her. We don't have to actively booing her is a step too far. She's a fine, fine woman and a great doctor. And if you were ever had been injured by a phaser, you'd want her to help, so don't complain. Moving on, security chiefs. Mr. Chekhov did eventually elevate to chief of security. Cupcake from the Kelvin timeline, who was not in Star Trek Beyond, which ticked me off. I wanted to see Cupcake again. Say again? He was not in the third film. Well, I was supposed to be. I don't know. They cut his scene, they shot it, and they cut it. When's the Blu-ray coming out? I need my Cupcake fixed. Odo! Malcolm Reed, Mr. Tuvok, Mr. Worf. And Tasha Yar. But again, we have some Tasha stands here. I like that, good. Worf gets the biggest applause, and that's deservedly so, but when we start putting this crew together, is Worf going to be the right person in this jigsaw puzzle that we're creating? So that's what's going to be fun about this. All right, you say yes now, but let's take a look. Let's move on to the next one, communications. Hoshi Sato, who was a communications officer before the Universal Translator, keep that in mind. Lieutenant Uhura, classic, iconic. And the other Lieutenant Uhura, very nice woman. Yeah, lovely, lovely. Not Uhura, but she's a Uhura, but you know. All right, let's move on to the next one. Helmsman, Mr. Chekhov. Anton Yelchin's Mr. Chekhov. Wesley Crusher. Still, 30 years later, you're still booing Wesley? Oh, poor guy. You know, I love Wesley. If you go and listen to Engage, the official Star Trek podcast, a few weeks ago, I gave an extemporaneous defense of Wesley and my love for him, and it's on record, so I'm not going to get into it now, but Wesley rules. So it's not Shut Up Wesley, it's Shut Up All You. Okay, Travis Mayweather. Yeah, nice guy. Mr. Sulu. The other Mr. Sulu. Did you see that maneuver coming off the cliff in the new movie? Whoa, that's some dangerous moves. So he's a contender, I should think. And Arix, are you saying Arix? Paris. Yeah, where is Paris on there? Well, yeah, and Paris too. We forgot to use the picture. We can put him in, don't worry. We have the technology to get him in there. And then I also want to mention Wildcard, because there's going to be, this is a small ship, the SS Javik. It's not as big as the Enterprise. So there will be stations that we're going to have additional chair. An additional chair is going to be filled by one of these people, unless we choose to move someone else and make them a wild card. This is a democracy. We can work it out. But my suggested wild cards are this. Seven of Nine. Mr. Data. Ezri and Jadzia Dax. Guinan. Not just a bartender. Harry Kim. Keen Sir. Neelix. What about Tuvix? Is Tuvix on there? No. And Ensign Rowe and Deanna Troi. And These are the suggested wild cards, but we can take from someone else in canon, or we could conceivably move somebody like Mr. Chekhov into the wild card and move Jadzia somewhere else. We do whatever the hell we want. It's our ship. But to get the ball rolling, I think what we should first do is think about, let's start from the bottom of the ship, the bowels of the ship, the engine of the ship. Let's think about best engineers first. So we have these engineers up here. What I want to do is, starting from the guts, we're going to start on this side. We want people to get find the our mic holders here, and everybody who participates gets a Googaw. So the first thing we want to do is hear a suggestion, a nomination for who should be the best engineer, and you can't just say, I nominate X. You have to say, I nominate X, and here's why. And if we all agree, we're going to put it on the board. We can take it off the board before we end, but we're going to put it on the board first. So with that in mind, we're starting on this side. Hello, sir. And I want to know, who do you nominate for, we're making our best ship. This is our A-list all-star ship. Who is the engineer of the SS Javits?
Classic Scotty seen it all from the beginning. And now as things progress.
Classic Scotty's seen it all from the beginning as things have progressed. He's also very entertaining. He likes a wee dram of whiskey now and then. He's the only red shirt still alive.
Don't overlook that. That's what it is.
Don't overlook that. But he's not Geordi LaForge.
Well,
and he's not Chief O'Brien.
That's their hero. Scotty is their hero. If they could serve under somebody, I think it would be Scotty.
All right. That's a very good point. I'm asking now the people in the crowd, do we agree that Scotty should be on this ship, or do we want to hear an argument for one of our other engineers? Wait. Everybody who says yes, we don't need to discuss this further. It's definitely Scotty. Classic Scotty, let me hear it. Everybody who says no, this is nuts, we got to get somebody else in there, let me hear it. Okay then, who should it be? Oh, thank you, sir, for coming up. Please grab a Googaw. You on this side, are you one of the people arguing that it should not be Scotty?
I was going to argue for Scotty, but if Scotty is out, I would say Geordi LaForge.
Why Geordi LaForge?
I think out of all of them, he's probably the most intelligent, and he gets beyond his disability and makes it a strength.
Ah, that's a nice wrinkle to it. I like that. Also, incredibly dedicated to his craft, right? More so, I mean, Miles O'Brien, he's dedicated, but he also, when it's time to shoot darts, he's out shooting darts. Geordi LaForge hasn't been on a date in 30 years. Leah does not count. So, anybody think that maybe it's perhaps Geordi LaForge who belongs on this crew? Geordi LaForge versus Classic Scotty. Oh, I don't know. That's more people yelling for LaForge. Are we making a mistake? Should it be Chief O'Brien? Chief O'Brien versus LaForge. Do we have somebody to argue for O'Brien? Who's an O'Brien stan? If you contributed, please go grab a trinket from the front. Can we get the O'Brien supporter to the front? And then this will be your turn at the microphone. We're doing this a little bit hazy here, but who is our O'Brien supporter?
I was going to go Scotty myself, but I think Chief O'Brien was a Scotty in training. Right? He was as close to Scotty as any of them could be. If he continued longer, he would have been the next Scotty.
He would have been the next Scotty, but that's not a great argument for O'Brien. That's just saying he's almost as good as the guy we're not voting for. No offense.
We have one more Chief O'Brien argument.
All right, what does our O'Brien supporter say?
O'Brien is running an entire space station that's not even made by the Federation. Okay? It's made by the Cardassians. He's got so much more to figure out and do and deal with. The place is five times the size of a spaceship. And it's a Cardassian space station.
That is a very, very good case. Okay, so it's coming down to this.
Jordan?
Yes,
Jordan,
sir?
Didn't we just see yesterday that on a Klingon ship in the past, Scotty built a whale cage on a Klingon ship?
Oh.
Just saying.
All right, that's a fish tank, let's be honest. I mean, I love the guy. And formed the time paradox doing it too, my God. These are all very good cases because these are all very good engineers, but it's gonna come down to this, and thank you for making that case about the Cardassians. Please come grab a doodad. All right, it's coming down to this. We're gonna hear applause in three, for three votes. It's going to be Scotty versus LaForge versus O'Brien. And by the way, Belana Torres and Tripp, we love you, but this is not happening. Everybody who wants classic Scotty, let me hear it. Everybody who wants dateless Jordy LaForge toiling away, let me hear it. That's pretty close. Everybody who wants Chief O'Brien, let me hear it. So to my ears, that's O'Brien. That's the way I hear it to my ears. But like I said, half the room is disappointed now. That's the way it ought to be. So thank you very much, computer. Let's get Miles O'Brien. That guy's been through a lot. Remember, he was in jail for like 20 years, and then he wasn't in jail, and it was like, hey, how's it going, Miles? I was in jail for 20 years. No, you weren't. You were in jail for 10 minutes. He had a rough time. So look at him. There he is, beautiful. And he is now, unless we take him off at the very end, going to be the engineer of the SS Javits. Now it's time to talk communications. It's time to talk communications on this end. We are, it's only three. It's Hoshi versus Uhura, and the other Uhura. Unless you want to throw somebody else in there, I'm open to suggestions. You want to put Quark in there, go ahead. But what do you think between these two picks, three picks?
Classic Uhura, I'd have to say. I mean, the timeline's trailer keeps you on Sato, so she's always in my mind, but I'd have to go with Uhura.
Classic Uhura. But keep in mind, Sato worked without a universal translator.
Still Uhura. First interracial kiss on television.
Okay, so that's outside. You're letting your emotions from outside of the fiction and the real world into it, which is not to dismiss that. That's fine. I mean, I'm open to all ideas. Let's. Are there anybody who thinks that it's going to be Hoshi? Anybody who thinks it's going to be Classic Uhura? All right. By the way, when we're done, we did do this panel once before in Las Vegas. We're going to show you how Vegas voted, and I think you might be surprised. Come on down and grab something, and let's get Classic Uhura up there. Look at her. She's beautiful. She's concerned. She's helping out the captain. And say again? You think Uhura should be the wild card? All right, well, we didn't get the wild card yet, so what we could do a little. Computer, let's get Uhura up there, and now we're going to talk about security. We're going to talk about security, and I want to ask this person over here. Let's go to our security crew members. There we go. Oh, it's got to be Cupcake all the way, right? But who do you think? Is it Odo? Is it Worf? Is it Tuvok? Is it Tasha?
Yeah. All right, we have an argument for Worf over here.
We have an argument for Worf. Let's hear some Worf.
Worf was also, besides being the security officer, he also had to defend his family name.
That's right. He had debt of honor at the same time.
Yes. He was injured and paralyzed and managed to come back to be security officer.
And it also never really bothered him that every single time he made a suggestion, Captain Picard said no. He somehow still made it into work the next day. He never called HR. He never did anything. He's like, all right, yeah, whatever you say. This person right next to you was itching to say something about Worf.
No. I'm going to make a Tasha Yar argument.
Oh, let's hear it. Ma'am, thank you for, by the way, come please grab something for nominating Worf. Tasha Yar argument coming up. Hailing frequencies open.
Here it is. Not only, guys, is she the darn best looking of all the security officers, she could go toe-to-toe with Worf. She helped train Worf, and she had the best death scene ever.
She was killed by a hefty bag. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they cried, and then she had a hologram that.
Oh, no, but I remember sobbing at age 13 watching
that. Yes,
you don't have to remind me.
Bring her back.
Well, she technically, sir, she did come back in an alternate timeline, but let's not get into that right now. Tasha Yar is wonderful. She's a wonderful person. Lieutenant Worf, the son of Moog, from the House of Martok, the mightiest Klingon warrior there is, the first mighty warrior of the Klingons in the Federation. Is there an argument for anybody else on the security? Oh, whoa. Odo, come up to the front. Let me hear some Odo. Cut up to the front. Constable Odo.
Odo did it all without using a phaser.
Ooh. Odo did it all without using a phaser. And a mercurial, insidious mind that would slip and slime his way into things and make things happen.
Exactly. I got
Three reasons for Odo? Yeah. Give them to me in alphabetical order, sir.
Okay. First, he is a doppelganger, meaning, you know, he can shape change to anything he wants. The value of that can't be underestimated. You can take down an entire empire with a single shapeshifter. Second, he is effectively immortal. He'll live forever, he'll learn and get better. He will learn how to duplicate humanoids. He will figure out how to become more invincible than he already is. And third, and perhaps most importantly, he's got a sense of right and wrong that is independent of all cultures. He's got his own code.
Right.
And that is what you need when you dispense justice.
And a code that he created all his own, because he was a self-made individual. What it comes down to in my mind, thank you, that was brilliant, I love that. Thank you, please congratulate. What it comes down to in my mind, and what we're going to have to argue right now is this. Not to make it too reductive, but Worf is Brawn and Odo is Brains, right? I mean, to a certain degree. That's what we need for sure. We need him on that wall. So what we need to argue is, for the purposes of security, do we need the mighty Klingon who will drink blood wine with Kalis after he tears your throat out, or do we need Odo with his noggin turning into a river to go underneath the door, or do whatever he does, like Reed Richards. So, what it comes down to is this: I want to hear everybody who is voting for Worf to give me a shout. All right, all right. And then everybody who's voting for Odo? That is almost neck and neck. One more time for Worf. Oh my God. And one more time for Odo. All right, all right. To my surprise, Odo is going to be... I'm glad you're happy. Odo's like, thank you. Odo is going to be the security chief of the SS Javits, which only flies up and down 11th Avenue. Okay, now after all that, I'm sweating a little bit, I'm getting palpitations, I need to go to sick bay. Who's gonna visit me in sick bay? Dr. Pulaski, I'm sure. Okay, we have Double McCoy, we got Dr. Bashir, and we have the doctor. This is a lot going on. So I think we ended on this side.
We have an argument for Dr. Crusher.
Dr. Crusher, yes.
So Dr. Crusher, she has like a history. She's been with Captain Picard, so she has probably had like one of the most experiences.
She has a longevity in Starfleet. Her husband
died, and she had to deal with the tragedy. And in sick bay, you have to deal with tragedies of all sorts every day. And I feel like you could really feel her when you have the pain. She can really.
She is what we call an empathetic doctor.
Yeah.
She will use her own personal history to ensure that things go well for you, and that's something that maybe Dr. Phlox, with his menagerie of bats flying around, doesn't have. And although the doctor eventually got there with new subroutines, thanks to Harry Kim, he doesn't necessarily have that level of empathy either. So that is a good argument for Dr. Crusher. Thank you for making that. Come grab something over here. But do we have an argument on this side for either Bashir, for Bones A, for Bones B, for the doctor?
I'm going to go with the doctor. First, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of all medical history in the Federation. Created the nanoprobes that could help defeat the species 8472 and the Borg. He also was the character who grew the most out of, in my opinion, out of any character on any Star Trek series, because he started out as very, like, basic and grew to be a full-fledged person.
Yeah, he downloaded extra content. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and he grew the most, in my opinion, and he's objectively the smartest, so I think he is the best doctor for the ship.
All right. Photons be free, argues this man. So that is a very good and solid argument for the EMH, and maybe if we're putting together the SS Javits, this is the guy we want, so please come down and grab something. But do we have an argument for one of the others? For Phlox? For Bones?
We have an argument for Phlox.
A Phlox argument? Whoa! I know! I'm with you. But yes, please, tell me what we need. What I'm not knowing about Dr. Phlox.
Well, I had one for Bashir.
Oh! I love Dr. Bashir. I love everybody, but I'd like to know what Dr. Bashir means to you.
Well, he cured Ketra Sayle-White, and he was going to give the cure to the Dominion. So he had his medical ethics ahead of...
Right. The Hippocratic Oath meant more to Bashir, arguably, than any other of our doctors, which is not to belittle the other doctors, but he was hardcore. He was dedicated. That's right. I mean, he was... His medical oath meant more to him than almost anything, which is something you need, perhaps, on this ship.
And he cured the changing virus as well.
Right. Yeah. And the blight, the Tepian blight. Oi, have you ever had Tepian blight? You don't want to know from it. It's horrible. He did cure the Tepian blight, which is nice. I mean, the copay on getting that fixed was horrible, but...
Hi. Can I add something really quick to the Dr. Bashir side, too?
Yes, yes. More Dr. Bashir
argument. He was literally genetically modified to be the perfect doctor. So
I
you
know.
Have the doctor, like the doctor, who can work on subroutines, but then he got caught in this existential crisis because, you know, he had to choose one crew member over another and got caught in this, like, loop that short-circuited him and kind of made him, like, explode, essentially, for a while. But Dr. Bashir has that humanity as well, so he kind of has the best of both worlds. He has the empathy, he has the encyclopedic knowledge because he was genetically modified,
right.
And he also has, you know, the ability to critical think and not, like, the limitations of being a computer.
I understand, and you know, it makes it very interesting. It makes him a very rich character because he was born from, if you want to say, born from sin, right? He was genetically modified, which was a big no-no at that time after the eugenics wars, as we all know. But then he had this sort of fanaticism about his ideals. So it's very interesting to me. I want to give one last shout out. Is there somebody who wants to talk about DeForest Kelly and or Carl Urban as Bones? Can we get somebody to talk it up for Bones, and then we got to bring this one down because we this is a toughie. This is a toughie.
To begin with, you know, for probably the Stanley Universe in particular, Bones is like 150 years old. He's had more experience than any of these people combined. He is an admiral. More than anybody else on that page there, he has told off his captain time and time again when it's needed. And he's worked with more of these crews than anybody else has. He's there for the commission of the Enterprise D. He also had a fling with one of the Dax Symbionts early in his life when he was in college. So he's actually interacted with more of these people. You cited the need to be able to cooperate. Who's cooperate with more people on that, the entire, you know...
All right, that's true. We got to make a team that's going to work together. And by the way, no disrespect to Carl Urban, but you are talking about DeForest Kelly.
Absolutely.
Where are the real Bones? Okay.
The only Bones.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So what we have here is we have a showdown between three people. We have a showdown between Prime Bones, Dr. Bashir, and the EMH. Everybody who wants to have are the SS Javits with Bones the original, let me hear it. And what about Dr. Bashir? That was close. And what about the EMH? I think that was the loudest. Let me hear again for Bashir. And let me hear for the EMH. I wish it could be a three-way tie, but I'm pretty sure that was the EMH. So let's get the EMH in there. And you know, the SS Javits may not be as much fun because Leonard McCoy isn't there, but thanks. We're gonna have the EMH in there. Okay, it's getting good. Let's move now to the helmsman position, helmperson position. And we have these people here. Sulu, New Chekov, Wesley, and Travis. And I think we're on this side now. And Paris, I apologize. On behalf of Star Trek, I apologize.
We have a Travis argument.
Oh, we do, eh? Okay.
Hello. I think Travis would be the greatest helmsman there because he pioneered the whole thing. He was the first one before all of them and basically grew up in space, so he knows the ins and outs of the quadrant and the ship and could basically manage any crisis situation.
Literally was a trailblazer. First to do it, born in space, had some rough adversaries and still made it happen. Travis Mayweather. Do we like Travis Mayweather? We like the guy. Do we want him on the SS Javits? Oh. He drives too slow. The warp core doesn't go that fast. Don't blame him. All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming down and giving some love to Travis. I'm not convinced that he's going to make it on the ship, but he'll be on the waiting list for sure. On this side, do we have an argument for one of the other Helms people?
For Paris?
Tom Paris.
He came from a penal colony. He came from a penal colony, and he really, like, didn't have the experience
And
so you want a criminal on our ship? What are you talking about?
No, but he's still, like, even with his dad not believing in him, he still went out and did well. And back in the Future's End episode, he's basically the one that saved everyone because he had a relationship with the girl. So he saved the life multiple times of the crew.
He also had a love for tinkering with mechanics, the Delta Flyer, the Captain Proton and whatnot. I mean, this guy loved his job. And like you say, rose to the occasion, came from a weird background and then got a second chance in life and made the most of it out in the Delta Quadrant with a crew that half hated him, still made it work. That's a strong argument for Tom Paris. Thank you for mentioning that. Come on down. Do we have any counter arguments for Classic Sulu or Beyond Sulu with that dive we saw in the last movie, that move, which looked in 3D, I nearly threw up, you know. Data as the helmsman. Well, we were thinking Data potentially for the wild card, but maybe somebody wants to make an argument for Data as helmsman.
We have one argument for Dax as a helmsman.
Okay, Brian, what do you want to say about Dax as the helmsman? I'm sorry.
Wait, do I hold this? Do you hold this? That's it. Okay, so basically I want to make an impassioned, desperate, last-ditch plea for Dax because, if you look in the episode One Little Ship, that was masterful piloting. That I don't think, I really don't see Sulu flying around an engine room shooting at Jem Hadar. Or any of the other people, admittedly. What got me thinking about it was in the episode Change of Heart, where they're flying around the asteroid field in CGI, I was thinking, how do you do that? I mean, come on, those asteroids are like...
Only Jadzia knows how to do it, is what it is.
I get it.
All right, so this is a very strong case, and like I said earlier, we don't necessarily have to make the wild card be the wild card, and in fact, if we move Jadzia out of wild card, that gives us room to put somebody else in wild card. So for those people who are thinking that maybe Jadzia Dax should be our helm person, let me hear it. Do we have one argument for Sulu?
We have Classic Sulu.
All right, we have one argument for Classic Sulu.
All right, first of all, Classic Sulu had knobs and dials that he had to maneuver, not just little computer gadget things that lit up. Secondly, he had to put up with whatever Kirk told him to do, and Kirk had all sorts of crazy stuff he wanted. So absolutely Classic Sulu, plus the sword fighting.
All right. Okay, it's time to take a vote. I would like to hear everybody who wants Classic Sulu as our helm person. Let me hear it. Everybody who wants to pull Jadzia out of wild card and into helm person, let me hear it. There are a lot of voters there, but Classic Sulu? Yeah. We love you, John Cho. We love George Takei. Let's get George Takei's Classic Sulu in. Thank you. What happened? Paris? Wait. She made this wonderful argument before we put Sulu in. What about Tom Paris? What about Classic Sulu? Can we look back on the board of what we have, of who we have in there already? Because the helm person has to work very closely with the engineer, and the helm person has to work very closely with communications and security. Do we think that spot should be Paris or Sulu? All those for Sulu, let me hear it. All those for Paris, let me hear it. It has accomplished. It is accomplished. And computer, not only did we err and not fail to include a picture, it was one of the ones that made it in. So you know what? Hey, come for the late show. We'll have it in there. But we'll just put his name in there, and it'll work out fine. So computer, let's put Tom Paris in. I think. Hey, there he is. Computer working fast. I like that. Okay, great. Now it is time. Should we go first officer next or wild card? Let's talk about the first officer. Now we got to pick a first officer who is going to work well with this crew. and that is going to make sense with this crew and the best first officer. What makes a good first officer? A first officer is loyal and can also handle anything. The first officer has to be as capable as the captain should the captain be stuck on an away mission. And I think we're going to start on this end, right? So we want to talk about the best first officer. Major Kira, Spock, Riker. What do you think?
Okay, well, I'm arguing for Classic Spock.
You need not argue with me.
Not only has he died for the Enterprise, I think what makes Spock so amazing is that he gives a balance. Like, the captain should have that intuition, and then Spock has that logic, which always complements the captain so well, and is what made the original Enterprise so amazing. So whoever becomes the captain, whether it's Kirk or anyone else, I think Spock adds that logic is really important.
Interesting. Okay, because I agree with you 100%. What making Spock the first officer does is, and we'll get to this in a moment, could potentially mean an obvious choice for Captain may not work, and we'll see. But Classic Spock is Star Trek, right? I mean, he was the thing when Star Trek first launched, first season, everybody went bananas for Spock. It's what made the show work, and there he is. Just look at him. I mean, it's a hard task. I mean, we love Number One, and we love Major Kira. Do we want to hear an argument? Thank you, by the way. Come grab something here. Do we want to hear an argument for potentially one of the other first officers? On this side, though.
I'd say Riker.
Number one, okay.
Number one. Fiercely loyal to Picard, and he would make a great wingman.
Yeah. You just like him because he's cool. He just want to go have a beer with the guy. Well, he does play the trombone, and that's key. The trombone is cooler than the Vulcan lute, I'll tell you that. That's true. The man knows how to take a chair. But Spock, though, I don't know. Okay, please, come grab something. Do we have an argument for one of the other first officers?
Yeah, I'd like to argue for Chakotay.
Yeah. All right, do your best.
So Chakotay has been a captain in his own right. He has those skills. He apparently was effective enough to get the Federation to send one of its best starships after him. And yet when push came to shove, he had the humility and the judgment to sacrifice his ship and to integrate his crew of rebels effectively.
He had no choice. He was in the Delta Quadrant. What was he going
to
do?
Yeah, but he was able to pull it off, to make the rebels work with the career Starfleet officers. So he can bring all of these five or six different crews that were integrating here together quite well.
All right. I mean, it is true. Chakotay had a lot of very capable qualities, but we're talking about Spock and Number One. Are there any other suggestions? Thank you, by the way. Please grab something while supplies
left. We have a new Spock, Jordan.
An argument for Spock, Kelvin Spock, eh? Okay.
Well, he did learn a lot from his Prime Spock. Also, he interacts a lot with not just the captain, but other members of the crew.
He interacts with Uhura quite a bit, yeah. So I'm told.
Well, not just that, but, you know, he helped him bring, Uhura helped him bring an emotional side to him, really, let him really experience his emotions, and, I mean, not to really diss on Leonard Nimoy, but, we really got to see really more emotions from Zachary Quinto Spock, and, you know, and how he was able to interact with all members of the crew, not just the captain.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you very much. Please come grab it. I'm willing to accept that maybe Kira or Number One or even Chakotay, but if we're going to do a Spock and it's not Leonard Nimoy, I'm leaving for the day. So it's not going to be... No, I love Zachary Quinto, and I thank you for your interaction, but I disagree with that guy. And I'm the one holding the microphone. All right, I think it's time to vote, unless we have a passionate plea for Major Kira.
I do.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear the passionate plea for Major Kira.
Major Kira is a top, top woman. I mean, she's a resistance fighter. She was a leader in her own right. Unlike Spock, and I love Spock, but he had difficulty with command. And if you're going to take command, you've got to be able to, if you're first off, you've got to be able to take command. Look at Galileo 7. You know, he had difficulty dealing with people. And if you want somebody to step up and work, Major Kira, it's a great candidate.
All right. It's very good. And she's fiercely loyal. Fiercely loyal as well. Okay, so it's time to vote. It's going to be a showdown between Number One, Kira, and Classic Spock. And we're just going to throw it out to you now. Everybody who thinks it's going to be William T. Riker, Number One, let me hear it. Everybody who thinks this could be Major Kira Nerys, let me hear it. That's big. That's big. That's big. Everybody who thinks it's going to be Classic Spock, let me hear it. That was close for Kira, but no cigar. That we're going to have Classic Spock in as the first officer, which is maybe going to be interesting when we want to pick a captain to go with this crew, because we need somebody who's going to balance well with Spock. Wild card. We need an extra person. Do we do wild card last, or do we do captain for captain last? That's what I said. We do captain last. Okay, wild card. We got everybody here. We have Jadzia, we got Data, we got Seven of Mindies, we got Keenser. We got a lot of capable individuals. Who is it going to be? And I think all the gadgets are gone, so this is just for the love of the game. We want to hear on this
right.
side.
Ensign Rowe argument over here.
We have an Ensign Rowe.
If we're like an Ensign Rowe, something, every crew benefits from a tough Bajoran woman. Ensign Rowe is a fighter and a fixer, and she'd be a great addition to any crew.
Wow, throwing the gauntlet down for Ensign Rowe. Theoretically, though, if you want a tough Bajoran woman, we could have Major Kira in as a wild card. Colonel Kira, if she's willing to join us on the SS Javits. Do we think Ensign Rowe is a candidate for this?
No.
More like Ensign No. All right, but thank you for playing. And on this side, we're going to hear something regarding 7-9 or Data or what do we got?
No, sorry to disappoint. I want to move Kelvin Montgomery Scotty into this one because he'll have the relationship with Spock and he'll also have the know-how from the Kelvin timeline and work well with O'Brien and the rest of the crew. So you'll have a Scotty on the ship as well as the engineer we already have.
Double engineer. Things are going to get solved. The coffee machines will never break down on this ship. Montgomery Scotty, who we love as a wild card. That is a wild choice. Do we think this is a possibility? Do we appreciate this guy for thinking outside of the box? And in that's your pity applause. Thank you very much. I think we're out of gifts, too, so you get nothing and you don't even get a gift. On this end, what do we want for our pick? Garrick? Yeah, I want to be able to sleep at night on the SS Javis. I don't want to look over my shoulder.
But if you need someone to do your dirty work, you want Garrick around. He brought the Romulans into the Dominion War. It wouldn't have gone well without that. Sisko needed him to do that job. Someone had to do it.
You may need Garrick on a space station, but on the SS Javits, that's too much. You need room to breathe with a Garrick on board. When you're on a ship, I don't know, do we think Garrick should be on the SS Javits? Somewhere was just going, not even answering yes or no. Just the mere thought is making her flip out. I love that pick, but I don't think it's going to happen. What about on this end? Data, huh? What about Data? Makes him good. I think the argument this man is making is there's so much of an argument he's not even going to make. Is there an argument then for 7 of 9? Is there an argument for 7 of 9 over Data? Who would like to say that 7 of 9 belongs in the wild card spot over Data? Please come take the microphone if you were that person who thinks 7 of 9. We got one. Let's hear it.
Yeah, for a 7 of 9. I mean, come on, guys. 7 of 9 is a previous Borg, knows everything, has a whole entire collection, has an entire Starfleet. Come on now. Like, really? Really? It's 7 of 9, and she's hot. And I'm gay, and I'm saying that. She's hot. Hello? Really?
That's a good argument, and she's a very capable officer, and, I mean, it's tough. It's not easy crewing up on the SS Javits. This is not... So we need Data, you say? Oh, okay. Do we have an argument for Jadzia back there?
Most definitely. Jadzia Dax
has 7 lifetimes of knowledge. She's been an engineer. She's been a pilot. She's been a diplomat. Any situation, she can handle. It's Jadzia Dax, and she's hot.
Yes!
So, yeah.
Yes!
I think that sums it up.
I love that guy. All right, it's coming down to this. Although we love everybody and we love more, who are we forgetting? Keenzer.
We have 2 arguments for Quark.
Quark?
We would like to know where Quark is. I mean, as much as I love dining, Quark, like, come on, it's Quark. He's a bartender. He knows all, he works with all of the different alien species that happen to come through his bar. And he can get all the knowledge that you possibly need to know what's really going on.
He's the guy you want, because he knows everything and everybody. He's a wheeler dealer. You have no wheeler dealers.
He is, but then Neelix is a wheeler dealer, and he's
not
nice.
Not like Quark. I like Neelix, he's not as good as Quark.
All right. Do we think Quark is a candidate? I mean, if... he'll steal the replicators. Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. I appreciate it, but I think what it is down to is going to be a showdown between 7 of 9, Data, and Jadzia. So, and I think it's time because we got to do Captain next, and then we got to figure out what mistakes. Everybody who thinks it should be 7 of 9, let me hear it. Everybody who thinks it should be Data, let me hear it. And everybody who thinks it should be Jadzia, let me hear it. That is really close. That is really close. We got to do it again. We got to do it again. Everybody for Data, let me hear it. And everybody for Jadzia, let me hear it. Now, I want to remind you one thing, because to my ears, that was a Data win. But I want to remind you one thing. Computer, let's go back to who we have on the crew. Do we need Data and Spock on the same ship? And not just because they're pals and it'll be fun to watch them. We're trying to build the best crew, the one that's going to help us when we have problems. So keep this in mind. Do we want to have Spock and Jadzia working side by side in that swing position, or Spock and Data? So everybody for Data, let me hear it. Everybody for Jadzia, let me hear it. I think that was a Jadzia win. That was a 52-48% computer. Let's get Jadzia in there as the wild card. Whew, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Oh my God. And now it's big news. So computer, we're gonna, when, yes, there she is. Oh, she looks great too. And now it's time to discuss the captain, because when it comes to this crew that we have here, working with this first officer, there are some logical decisions and some ones that may seem intuitive that may not work. I believe, in general terms, that the best captain we ever had on a starship was Captain Jean-Luc Picard. I believe that. I mean, by inches, by centimeters, by tachyon beams better than the others. However, with this particular crew, I don't know that a Picard-Spock team-up makes sense. I think you need somebody who can work in conjunction with Spock that is has a slightly different skill set and different mindset, and I don't think that makes sense for Picard. I also think that when we're building a crew, we need somebody who can take diverse populace and put them all together. Who can take a ragtag team and put them all together? So I'm gonna go to this side here. Looking at the crew that we've built with Odo, with Spock, with Jadzia, who is going to be the captain of this ship?
All right, we're gonna start with Captain Sisko.
A Sisko argument.
Yeah, so Captain Sisko, he is the ultimate multitasker. He was in command of a station, he was in command of a ship. He maintains tenuous alliances and kept his enemies just close enough. And all of this in a time of war.
That is a, bam, that's and a good argument.
And he was not afraid to get his hands dirty for the greater good.
That is true. And that is a really good argument. And do we have somebody on this side to make a counter argument?
Actually, we have another argument for Sisko.
I'd make a counter-argument in favor of Sisko against everyone else, because just because he's the first does not mean Kirk's the best.
Picard may have faced the Borg, but he got assimilated. It was Riker that saved us. Janeway got us lost in the Delta Quadrant.
No, she did not.
Oh, yes, she did.
She did not get us lost. My
her
foot.
Future self.
My foot, she got us lost. She was taken away by that damn thingamabob that dragged her away.
And she didn't get them back for 7 years.
She got them back in only 7 years. They were 70 years away.
You're talking about past.
To 10th Avenue with you, sir. I love Benjamin Sisko, don't get me wrong, but when you start talking trash about Janeway, you are going to make me up happy, sir. I say good day to you, but thank you. Thank you for making you make a good case, and what we have here is, I'm being joking around, that was a very good argument for Sisko. I'm only pretend yelling at you. Really, I'm not. I'm only pretend arguing at you. Do we have an argument for Janeway?
We have a pro-Janeway.
Hello. So, first of all, this is hard, as you know, but if I have to serve with a captain myself, there is no doubt in my mind I will do it with Janeway. That's because, well, first, she was the top of her class without cheating. Secondly, she was stranded in the Delta Quadrant for 7 years. She put the values of the Federation first, even in the most strenuous cost circumstances. Also, when confronted with, she had that kind of mother instinct that also, she kind of bounded with the whole crew, something that Picard will never do. He did it a little bit at the end, but Janeway did it from the get-go. And she was able to adapt. And again, she handled things that Picard never handled, or any of the captains, different species. And she was alone. The Federation was not even close. So, and also for this crew specifically that we are building, we have Vulcan as a first officer. She had a Vulcan as a first officer too. So,
yeah.
The choice to make.
Okay, well that is a strong case for Janeway. We only have about 5 minutes left, so do we have somebody else that wants to add to Janeway? We heard two good arguments for Sisko, and it's
going
to come down to a vote. Somebody for Janeway.
Right here. All right, Janeway not only combined two crews that were in essence, on opposite sides. She made them work together. She also interacted with species that the Federation had never even come into contact with. So she's got this experience that I think others don't. And she defeated the Borg.
She was a scientist. All right. But we also have some good arguments for Sisko. And though we love Captain Kirk, and like I mentioned earlier, we love Picard, and we love Archer, we love Pike, we love them all. I think it's come down to, in the wire here, it's going to be a Sisko versus Janeway showdown. And just so you know, if you were curious, when we did this in Vegas, the same exact thing happened. So the toil that we are currently undergoing has happened now on two coasts. Okay, so everybody who thinks it should be Captain Sisko, let me hear it. In your soul, you think it's Captain Sisko. In your soul, you think it's Captain Janeway. Let me hear it. This is not even a vote. In Vegas, we toiled. It was like the end of Alternative Factor. We were in a constant inner battle for generations. But not this time. This time, it's a clear winner. We have our all-star crew. In the center seat, Captain Catherine Janeway. At her side, Mr. Spock, how cool would that be? How cool would that be to see? In the engineering room, Chief O'Brien. And in sickbay, an old familiar friend, the doctor. And making sure everything runs smoothly, we have Odo. At her side on her cell phone, we have Uhura. Oh, and then an old friend, we have Tom Paris there. Yeah, they get along pretty well. And then by her side, the old man, Jadzia Dax. And we did it, folks, and we did it on time and under budget. We put together the all-star crew. Everybody take a photo, tweet it, hashtag Star Trek New York, tweet it, hashtag Engage Pod. We can argue about this some more on the Engage podcast. And I'm sure for curiosity's sake, we want to know what happened in Vegas when we did this right. And I forget how long ago we did. I think it was not this year, and I don't even think it was last year. It was 2013. So 3 years ago, look what we had. We had captain and first officer the same doctor, same security, And we had Helmsman Jadzia, so we had the wild, so it was, Paris didn't make it. Uhura was swapped out for Hoshi and Scotty over Chief O'Brien, but many, that's 1, 2, 3.5 the same, right? 4 same individuals, 1 in a different role. What that means is clearly, this is the right crew. You know, we're getting there. Maybe in 3 years again, we'll tweak it a little bit more. But maybe, computer, put the other one back on if people want to take a photo of 2013, and you can tweet it side by side. Make a side by side tweet. They don't cost extra to do a side by side tweet. So you got a 2013 tweet, and we have a today's tweet. And guess what, folks? I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted, but that was a lot of fun. And we gave a lot of love to the Voyager crew, and as it just so happens, in about 35 minutes, the Voyager crew is going to be out here on stage. So stick with it, and should we tell Captain Janeway that she was made the best captain? All right, I guess we'll tell her. We'll spring it on her. Maybe she'll say thank you to all of you. Great, okay, well listen, stick around, and in a little bit we'll have the Voyager crew. And until then, keep reading One Trek Mind on StarTrek.com. Listen to the Engage, the official Star Trek podcast, if you want to hear more of my mellifluous tones. You can do that, and we'll see you back in 30 minutes. Thank you. That's this week's show, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you to our friends at the Jacob Javits Center and Mission New York and Repop Entertainment, and thank you to our friends. We are now concluding all of our convention recordings, so thank you to our friends out in Las Vegas, too. And we're going to be back next week with some new stuff. What's it going to be? Well, it's a secret right now, but you're going to know soon. But until then, live long and prosper.